for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a 2021 November Zoom meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Deborah Bales is hosting this meeting with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp's director, Mira Miller. This is Saturday morning, November the 20th, 2021. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Healing is for Today.
Thank you, Deborah. Father, we just come and thank you so much for Meryl and Barbara, and thank you so much for Kevin and Patty. Thank you so much for Kernan and Jean and for Deborah and for all that you do. We just thank you, Lord, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. And I ask you, Lord, that you just let yourself loose in me in Jesus' name, that your manifested presence will be at this meeting. I pray that every life will be touched in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this meeting, over us in the name of Jesus, over the things that concern us in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to put a special covering of warrior angels over us and around us to boomerang back on the enemy. Every curse and assignment sent against us, not to kill or harm anyone, but so they'll fear God and turn away from evil. And we take authority over Satan. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places. And on this earth, we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. In Jesus' name. Well, the title of this message is Healing is for Today. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Word says. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and He wants to give life to us. He says that you're more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. His name is Jehovah Rapha, which means I am your healer, and He's still healing us today, and we thank God for that, and we thank God for all that He's done. He says, because I am the Lord who heals you. You know, less than 0.5% of people that say they're believers really believe in divine healing. They say they believe in it, but they really are. They call the doctor before they call the great physician. And that's not to condemn anyone, because people are walking different places. And I know precious people that had they not gone when they did, they would be dead now. So this is not to condemn anyone. We have to walk where God tells us to walk. But I want to share what the Word of God says about healing. And so less than 0.5% of people that say they're believers really believe that in divine healing. In fact, nowadays, there's probably so many pastors and people that don't even believe that Jesus, you know, they believe there's other ways to God. Well, there's only one way to God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And praise God, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in me is the hope of glory. And Jesus wants to loose himself in us. And we have to die to our flesh for Jesus Christ to manifest in us. We have to choose against our flesh. And so what does it mean to die to the flesh? It means that you choose God's way over your way, His plan over your plan, His attitudes over your attitudes, and His word over your word. It means you're willing to align yourself with the Word of God. Andrew Murray, in his book on divine healing, says that sin is the source of sickness. And it really is today. Really, it's the source of why we need deliverance. You know, deliverance is just James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil. And the word says that he'll flee. And this Bible truth is confirmed over and over in the Word of God. In fact, if you do a word study on sickness, you'll see what I'm saying. Or just sick. Or disease. You'll see that behind it is sin. It's a consequences of sin. But praise God, Jesus died at Calvary to be our substitute. And so we have to, He atoned for our sins. And so thank God for that. And you can tell, something else is appearing. What does that mean? Can you see me or do you see that? Oh,
yes, you're fine. You're fine.
So praise the Lord. I can say, well, we're not going to have technical difficulties today because God is, and Deborah are in charge. But you tell the average church member today that they're sick because of sin. Well, that you actually hurt their feelings. I was telling somebody one day they needed deliverance and it really hurt their feelings because they'd never heard of such a thing. Now they totally receive it. You know what I'm saying? But at first it hurt their feelings and they could be aghast that you would say such a thing. But the word confirms that over and over. Because of unbelief, the church for the most part has lost the, they've lost divine healing. You know, I can say that Jesus has been my only doctor for probably 34 years at least. And, I can tell you he's kept my body. I'll be 83 in February. My body does not have one ache or pain or one thing wrong with it because God has taught me this principle in 1972 when I attended a Milton Green seminar. He taught me that sickness was a curse without a cause could not lie, that demons were behind the sickness because sickness is of the devil. But when we step out of line, I like to use the illustration of an umbrella. It's we're walking in repentance under that umbrella. We're safe. The scripture says that the breath of the ruthless, Satan's breath, is like a rainstorm against a wall. Like when I'm in a house and it's raining, the rain's hitting the window when I'm dry. And so when we step out from under God's authority, we step over in Satan's realm and the consequences are that's where the fiery darts are flying. The scripture says when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, you abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And that's not a place to visit. That's a place where we dwell. And when we step out of line, we get it right. And one thing God's taught me is that I don't let sin, and I am a work in progress. Every day, I told someone the other day, every day, I get deliverance every day as when something comes up, maybe something I did or said 40 years ago, I repent. You know, on the surface, most people, they're confessed up and prayed up on the surface, but all the stuff that's happened underneath that we've long forgotten, the times we've let the sun go down on our anger, the judgments we've made, the unforgiveness we've held, the movies and things we've watched that have planted demonic seeds down in our heart, generational curses, we have to deal with all of those things. And God's taught me not to allow fear in my life or to allow anger or depression. You know, depression is we just get depressed because we look at our life and we have this image or this idea of how our life ought to be and it doesn't line up with what we think. And so we take a nosedive. Depression, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, fear. Fear is the root of autoimmune diseases. You know, when we have any fear in our life, what we're doing, we're trusting the devil and not trusting the Lord. We're believing what the devil's telling us instead of the Lord. And I've shared this before. This is how I deal with fear. Lord, do you hear what the devil's telling me? God, if that, I live for your glory. And if that thing would glorify you the most, then let it happen. The devil, you can't touch me. And I can tell you, I don't walk in fear, anger. I don't let the sun go down on my anger. I hurt. Listen, I've been really hurt lately by some things, but you know what? You have to let it go and die to your flesh. You want to please Jesus more than you want to please those demons of hurt and those demons of unforgiveness. But we have to deal with sin if we want to be healed. And of course, Jesus died at Calvary. But what we do normally, if I start to get a cold or something, I say, oh Lord, what did I do? And I start repenting and it usually I can feel it coming. And usually as I'm repenting, it's going away. And so we have to take, we can't let the sun go down on our anger or our sin. Don't let it pile up, but we have to deal with it. But most of the time people don't do that. Because in America, in other countries, they have to trust God or whatever they do. But over in America, we are so oriented toward the medical and toward, substituting the great physician for a band-aid that covers over a spiritual problem. And I had rather find the spiritual root to it and get a total healing than put a Band-Aid on something and on a demon and it stays there. And so I don't want superficial healing. But the church, for the most part, they have lost divine healing because we trust in too many things besides the Lord. In Exodus 15:26, God says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and his commandments and turn your ear to listen to him and obey his commandments and his statutes, he said he'll put none of the diseases on you that he's put on the Egyptians, which is the type and shadow of the world. He said, for I, the Lord, am your healer. In modern Hebrew, that means I am your doctor. And I'm going to ask Deborah to read Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 through 15. In the New American Standard Version.
Deuteronomy 7:9-15.
Uh-huh.
Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful yes. God, who keeps his covenant and his faithfulness to a thousand generations for those who love him and keep his commandments. But he repays those who hate him to their faces to eliminate them. He will not hesitate toward him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments, which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep his covenant with you and his faithfulness, which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you, bless you, and make you numerous. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain, your wine, and your oil, the newborn of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock, in the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no sterile male nor infertile female among you, for among your cattle, and the Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not inflict upon you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but he will give them to all who hate you.
And so, you know, the law in the New Testament is that we walk in love. And he said he'll put sickness on everyone who hates you. So you see, that could be a big root to if we're not loving people, I believe the lack of love, and that means forgiving people and to walk humbly before our God. I lost my train of thought on all those who hate you. Okay, if we don't love somebody, we hate them. And I remember, can't think of his name, that he was with the guy that wrote Pigs in the Potter. What's his name?
Nick Hammond.
Yeah, Nick, he works with Hammond. He said that hatred is the absence of love. And that's true. I've been convicted over this past year, that I really haven't loved people like I should. And I'm thankful that God is changing that in my life. And, I want to spend the rest of my days. I want to go out of here in a blaze of glory. And I want to spend the rest of my days helping people and doing things for people. And I'm thankful that he's changed my heart from a person that in earlier years was greedy, that he's changed that. He's taken that out of my heart to where I really want to help people. And so I'm thankful for what he's doing in my life. You know, we're all a work in progress, every last one of us. Nobody has arrived. And every day is a day of deliverance for me. And while ago when I was saying that I don't have anything wrong with my body except my eyes, and you know, my eyes is the only thing I've gone to the doctor for, because I had cataract surgery in 2016. But Jesus has been my only doctor other than that. And he's kept my body in perfect health. the other day somebody said, do you even take an aspirin? I said, no, I have nothing against taking one. But if I start to think I need one, I start praying and repenting and asking God to show me what I did or what I needed to do and just to repent, because we start taking glory for anything and God can shut us down. So I give him the glory, and I hope that I didn't come across like I was boasting in myself, but I give God the glory. Exodus 23:25, God says he'll bless your bread and water and he'll remove all sickness from you. And of course, if you read it before that, it tells you what the conditions of that. And then, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that if you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, some of you are weak and some of you are sick and some of you die, even for trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus all over again. And so, when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, I think there was like 3 million Jews. There was not one sick, not one weak, and not one feeble. And that's in Psalms, and I couldn't find the reference, but not one feeble. And then they enjoyed good health for, probably 20 years. And then they got into sin and God sent a plague upon them. And then, they repented. They met God's conditions that atoned for their sins, which was the blood of bulls and goats. And so they atoned for their sin and God healed them. And then, 19 years later, they cursed Moses and Aaron and God, and God sent fiery serpents among them. And so because of their grumbling and their complaining, and God told them to make a serpent on a pole and look to that, which was a type of Christ, and they were healed. And of course, then they begin to worship that pole. And you see that on the American Medical Association. We see people worshiping that today, not trusting God, but trusting other things. And so, and that's confirmed in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when God said these things happened. He recounts what happened to the children of Israel in wilderness, how because of their idolatry and their immorality, how he sent fiery serpents among them. And then it goes on to say these things happened as an example for you and I, brothers and sisters, that we should not crave things as they crave. And then it goes on to say, be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall. And Deuteronomy 28, in verse 1, in the blessings of Deuteronomy, it says, if you be careful to obey everything that God says in his commandments and his statutes, he says that he'll bless our bread and water. He'll bless our going in, our coming out. He'll bless everything we set our hand to do. He said that he'll establish us as a holy people. He said that the enemy will come against you one way and he will flee seven ways. And then it says the people of the world will see that you're called by the name of the Lord and they'll be afraid of you. You know, God tells us to put on the armor of light. I mean, we have to lay aside a lot of stuff to wear the armor of light, but the light dispels darkness. God wants our face to be a mirror that brightly reflects the glory of God. And when we've got on the armor of light, we're dispelling darkness around us. And our face will be a mirror that brightly reflects the glory of God. That's what it says in a Living Bible translation. But then it goes on to say, and it says that you'll be the head and not the tail. A lot of people are trying to be the head, but they're really the tail because they're under a curse. So God wants us to be the head, not the tail. And the people of the world will see that you're called by the name of the Lord and they'll be afraid of you. You know, that's good news for the days we're living in, right? There's so many promises in God's word to his children. If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. How about this one? He's given you a power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure you. There's a scripture that says the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous, to those who are calling upon his name, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. I love those scriptures. There's so many of them that God has. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. Psalms 91 and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. But then it says if you're disobedient to the voice of God and his commandments, he lists about 60 different curses, and curses are carried out by demons, and The blessings are carried out by God's holy angels. But it says in Deuteronomy 28, and I'm not going to name all of it, but I'm just going to name the ones on sickness. There's a curse, and I don't know what verse that says, curses of consumption, which means a wasting lung disease, fiery heat, blight, and mildew, which is kind of candida, inflammation. You know, we're taking all kind of medications for inflammation, but it's actually a curse. And then in Deuteronomy 28:59, he says, the Lord says that he will, 28:59, it says, the Lord will, the Lord is going to do this. We blame the devil for everything. The Lord will bring on you curses, confusion, and rebuke, and all you undertake to do until you perish quickly from off the land where you're entering to possess it, because you have forsaken me, God says. And then further down, it says, let me see if the reference, 28:59, he says, the Lord will bring upon you extraordinary plagues, extraordinary sickness, severe and lasting plagues, miserable and chronic sicknesses on you and your descendants. And then it says, and also every sickness that's not written in the Bible, those that have not even been discovered yet. And, you know, the people that are taking the COVID shot, the COVID vaccination is killing people all over the world. It's causing blood clots in the lungs, and it's all causing all kinds of heart attacks, heart problems. And, you know, Carla Buttad has got a prayer to renounce that. This is not to condemn anybody, but, you know, you took it because of fear. We're living in days that you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to stand up for what's right regardless. The scripture says you overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony, and you love not your life even if in the face of death. We're living in days that we have to be willing to take the guillotine if that's what it takes, but say, no, I'm not going to compromise. And so God wants us to stand up. He wants us to stand up for what's right. And he puts severe and lasting plagues, miserable and chronic sicknesses. And so a lot of the people that are in hospitals right now are in there because of they've had the COVID vaccination. A lot of these people that they're saying it's COVID, but the shot actually gives you that. Even those tests, don't take those tests. They've got things in there that's not good. And so anyway, if you've had that, contact Patty and Kevin will give you Carla's I thought I was going to send that out and I forgot, but Carla's got a prayer for anybody that's had any kind of vaccines. You know that they put aborted baby parts in vaccines and a lot of the medications that people are taking. And you know what? Every medication becomes another side effect that becomes another disease. Most people are on so much. I thank God that he's totally taught me to be a quick repenter. I thank God for that because I'm not on any medication. And most people, even in their earlier, are on so much medication, they don't even know what town they're in. You know, my dad, when he was 94, when he died, he wasn't on any medication and he was in a sound mind, actually in good health and just until 6 months before he died. And so God wants you to take gospel pills. And you do that by saying, Lord, what are you trying to show me? There's a lesson in everything we go through. And you know, people have a hard time thinking, well, Christians can't be under a curse. Well, the scripture says in, I think it's 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3:15, that all scriptures, and I can't quote this exactly, all scriptures given for reproof, for correction, and righteousness and training that the man of God might be fully equipped. Y'all are familiar with that scripture. All scripture. I mean, I could teach 2 hours if I could see the word and show you scriptures that says that on curses, but the curse ends We don't have a problem believing when the doctor says, you know, have there any heart of problems or eye problems in your family, that he takes a genealogy on your genes. You know, the medical profession calls that genes, but God calls it curses. The sins of the parents are passed on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. And Revelation 22:3 tells you when the curse will end. People have a problem believing that Christians can have curses. Listen, if sickness is a curse, Christians can be cursed, because Christians also confusion's a curse. Can Christians be confused? Yes, but it's a curse. It says in Revelation 22:3, there will no longer be a curse, and the throne of God and his Lamb and his bondservants will serve him. Now, what am I supposed to do? Something's appeared on there. Can y'all see me? Or
Yes, we got you.
Okay. What am I supposed to do when I see that? Just be quiet and just go on, right?
What it is text messages, Jerry.
Oh, I got you.
We just got a message from someone.
They're agreeing with you, and they're sending out blessings towards you and to everybody else. That's
praise the Lord.
So
I thought maybe I did something wrong.
You're doing really well.
Okay,
everybody is agreeing with you. So
praise the Lord. Lord, help us trust you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
It says there'll no longer be any curse. That's Revelation 22:3 for someone that wants to know. Does the scripture say that Christians can be under a curse? If we're no longer going to be under a curse, at the end of the age, that means we can be under a curse. And then it says in Revelation 22:18-19, it says that if we add to the word of God, it says that God will add to us all the plagues written in this book. And then it says if you take away from the word of God, he's going to take away your part from the book of life, and the holy city, the book of life and the holy city that's written in this book. You know, we've established that sickness is a curse, and Proverbs 26:2 says a curse without a cause cannot light. So if you get a cold or if you get something, ask God to show you what you've done. That's what I do. And God heals me. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. He wants to heal us. He's the great physician, and he's not lost his position. And since sickness is a curse, we have to deal with negative emotions, like I shared earlier. We have to deal with our sin. It says in Romans 8, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then it goes on to say in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk in the Spirit by choosing God's way over your way, his plan over your plan, his attitudes over your attitudes, his word over your word. When you die to the flesh, it means that you can't do the things you want to do. Yes. Galatians 5, Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh wars against the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do what you please. And then it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law. So if you're not walking under the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you are under the law. And the demons are the executors of God's law. So whenever you're not walking in the Spirit, it's like my friend Milton Green used to say, sick 'em. Because when you're not under God's refuge, you're in Satan's territory. And yes, he's the cause of sickness and disease, but basically it's because you chose to step out of God's way, out of God's plan. Galatians 5:19, then it goes on to say the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, which is, it's also, I think it says witchcraft in King James, but that's also pharmakia. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. We think, well, it's okay to have little spouts of where we're blowing off with anger. You know, if you got anger, deal with it. It's idolatry. Don't. In other words, if something makes you angry, take it up to the cross and let it go like you do the fear. Lord, I let this go. hurt, you have to let it go. And we're going to all be hurt. And the people that we love the most are the ones that hurt us the most. And so we have to let it go. Outbursts of anger, disputes, factions, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. You know, there's a physical drunkenness for drinking alcohol or for, I used to get drunk because I didn't drink alcohol, but I'd overeat, and that would be drunkenness, makes you drunk, make you feel terrible. I remember my grandson, when he was a little boy, he'd overeat and he'd have to end up on the, be on the back seat. He doesn't overeat anymore, but he did when he was a little bitty kid. It says drunkenness. So there's a physical drunkenness from alcohol, but there's a spiritual drunkenness for spiritual adultery and spiritual harlotry, carousing and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, God says, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we practice living after the flesh, we're not even going to go to heaven. And this is not a one-time sin. This is if somebody were to describe your life, they'd say, that's their lifestyle. It's not talking about a one-time sin. It's talking about being a person that practices these things. And if they were, somebody would describe you, they'd say, this fits you. No, it says those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Isaiah 53 says, he bore our sicknesses and our sins, our pains, our griefs, our sadness on Calvary. He was stricken of God, afflicted, and we esteemed him not. Then he goes on to say, by his stripes you were healed. Isaiah prophesied that thousands of years before Christ. And then in Matthew 8, it says that Jesus went about casting demons out of many people and healing all who were sick. Over and over it says Jesus healed all who were sick. Never did he miss one person. Well, if he healed all, that means you, that means me. And so he healed all at Calvary. And recently I heard something that really changed my life, because I've been on this pilgrimage of trying to get my eyes healed. And I'll share that at the very end. But recently I heard something that really changed my life, is that, and I should have known it, but I didn't. But that when Jesus saved your soul, he also healed your body. It was done at Calvary. And I thought, well, you know, you don't see salvation. I mean, you're saved, you're being saved, and ultimately you will be saved. Well, why couldn't you say you were healed, you're healed, you're being healed, and you're ultimately being healed? You may not see it overnight, but it changed my whole, instead of saying, you know, God, do it, I see that he did it. And so I'm thankful that God really used that to change my life. And I've been on a journey since 2008 with my eyes. And I'm telling you, I'm going to get the victory in this in Jesus' name. And praise God. He healed my eyes at Calvary. The manifestation of healing is not there. And so, but I'm waiting for the manifestation. And I already shared Matthew 8. It says that Jesus went about casting out demons and healing all who were sick to fulfill the prophecy that Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 53. So Matthew was looking back at Calvary. Isaiah was looking toward Calvary. And so he healed us at Calvary. Matthew 5, 16 and 17 says that Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. And so how he fulfills it is through us walking in love. And I believe that that's at the root of most of our sickness, is places where we've been hurt. And like I say, most of you are repentant, as you know how to be. But look at all the things that you've gone through in your lifetime that you haven't repented of. And that's why when you say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? He'll always show you something from the past. He'll always show you maybe a judgment you made on your parent, maybe how you treated your parents, maybe a judgment that you did, something you said, someone who hurt you. But God will always, by his Holy Spirit, because he doesn't show us everything at one time. We couldn't take it. He bore our pains, our griefs at Calvary. If we saw everything that was wrong with us at one time, we'd probably pass out. If I saw everything that God still sees that's wrong with me, I'd pass out. But listen, I'm overcoming it, and I don't let it stack up. I don't let the sun go down on it. I deal with it immediately. I'm repenting all day long of something. You must say, well, you're really a bad person. You, oh, yeah, I have been. I'm ashamed of some of the ways I've acted. And so Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget none of his benefits. He pardons all of my iniquities. He heals all of my diseases. He redeems my soul from the pit. King James says, from destruction. He delivers me from destruction. He renews my youth as that of the eagle. First Peter, let's see if I got the right one here. Yeah. First Peter 2:24 said that Christ died at Calvary, to paraphrase, that we might, number one, die to sin, number two, live to righteousness, and number three, by his wounds you were healed. Third John says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And your soul won't prosper watching Netflix, because the people that put those things together have an agenda, and you're planning witchcraft and everything else, perversion and witchcraft and everything in, down into your spiritual garden, and it's going to manifest bad things, not good fruit, bad things. And so how does your soul prosper? Your soul prospers by daily living your life, saying, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Repenting, dealing with it, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the Bible tells us to do. That means deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. And so when we're sick, God says, you have not cause you ask not. Ask the Father Jesus in anything in my name, and I'll do it. And then if you're not healed, find the cause of the curse. Cursed without a cause cannot light. Confess your sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if you're still not healed, ask the elders of your church to anoint you with oil, or some spiritual people that you know that love Jesus with their whole heart, because they'll anoint you with oil. And the scripture says that we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And he tells us, he's given us as disciples the authority to heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. And praise the Lord. We don't really realize the power of God's word. And then if you're still not healed, like I've gotten most of my healing when I didn't get healed, is through doing word studies. And I remember when my son died of AIDS in 1989, I had a sinus infection that lasted a year and a half. And I said, I kept saying, Lord, what are you trying to show me? He said, pride and your mouth. Well, I understood about the mouth, but I pride, you know, I'm not proud of my house. I'm not proud of my car. I'm not, you know, so I didn't see the pride. And so, I went to this doctor that gave me, antibiotics and some kind of allergy medicine. And what it did is it made me so bloated up, I couldn't even zip my largest slacks. And I thought, I'm not taking any more of this medicine if I never do get well. And so I just decided to practice what I preach. So I pulled up every scripture on mouth and pride, even though I didn't understand it. I did the mouth thing. I pulled up all the scriptures on the computer of mouth, tongue, lips, words, pride, arrogance, boastfulness. And I had about it was a stack of computer sheets about 2 inches high, and they were in small print. Now I use 47 font or 72 font, but it was in small print. And it took me 3 days to go through those scriptures. And on the first day, I saw so much sin in my life, so much pride. I remember saying, you know, I even know where I was sitting. I was facing east in my prayer chair. And I just said, God, you must be so sick of me. I saw so much pride in my life. I think, well, you know, my mother needs to see this. My daddy needs to, this fits my sister. Oh, this is my husband. I didn't see me. I saw me. And I said, God, you must be so sick of me. And so anyway, at the end of 3 days, I was almost totally, I repented over all those scriptures. Whether I thought I was guilty or not, but I was usually guilty of all the pride scriptures and the mouth scriptures. And so, at the end of 3 days, I was totally healed, except my nose was a little stopped up on one side. And I said, so then I started, I did a word study on nose and pulled up all the scriptures on nose. And when I got to Job 42, it says, can you, speaking of Leviathan, who's king of the sons of pride, can you put a rope in his nose? And I said, oh God, I feel like I got a rope in my nose. Forgive me. And I had a vision of God trying to restrain my mouth. And he had a rope in my nose trying to keep my mouth shut. There was a time that I would go out to lunch with someone and I would talk so much I'd come away so condemned. God's delivered me from that. I've been delivered from so many things. People that say, you know, I just like to go back to my earlier years. I don't, because I may not make it next time. I've overcome addictions. I've overcome addictions to caffeine, addictions to diet pills. I can tell you today I'm not addicted to anything. I have overcome so much. And the people that want to go back to the past, they haven't overcome anything, because if you're an overcomer, let me tell you something, you don't want to go back because you might not make it again. And so do a word study. I remember when I used to do 40-hour seminars, and I would stand for 40 hours, 3 days, 9 to 9, 9 to 9, 9 to 9. And for 2 weeks after that, my legs would throb from standing. So I did a word study on legs, and the Bible says God does not take pleasure in the legs of a man, which is a picture of taking pleasure in your human flesh, which I came out of a family that was really good with walking in the flesh, you know, hanging in there, letting the front end drag kind of people. And so I repented over that I took pride in my daddy, because I always looked up to my dad, because he was the strongest person I knew, and he was certainly operated in the flesh a lot of times, but he was a good dad. And so I repented of that, and then the Lord showed me that when I was cheerleader, I would march in the Battle of Flowers parades in San Antonio, and the people on the sideline cursed me as the cheerleader with the ugly legs. And then I used to curse my legs, and I'd say, my legs look like I've been in a train wreck. They look like telephone poles. And when I repented of all these leg scriptures and all of this, you know that my legs were healed, and I can stand now, and it doesn't bother me at all. And so about a year or so ago, I fell like 3 or 4 times, and I couldn't hardly walk. I think I missed one Lake Hamilton because I couldn't hardly walk. And I didn't run to the doctor. I just pulled up all the scriptures, because the scripture says in Psalms 107, there are those who dwelt in darkness and in a prison in misery and chains because they rebelled against the Lord. And then it says then they cried out to the Lord in their distress. And it says in Psalms 107, he sent his word to heal them. And his word is Jesus. When you start being in a word study, because Jesus, just using the word, creates the presence of Jesus, because Jesus is the word. I love Revelation. In Revelation, it says, and when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name is the word of God. And so whenever you, when you confess the word, or you read the word, or you speak the word, you're creating the presence of Jesus. He sent his word to heal you. Another time, one of my hands felt bruised, and I did a word study on left hand. It says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Oh God, I've done that. I was teaching a seminar once, and a girl came up, excuse me, and she said, I got something in my eye. And I said, have you ever judged anyone? She went, my mother. And I said, well, who does your mother remind you of? She said, my mother-in-law. And so I led her in repentance of judging her mother, and she went, it's gone. And so then God showed me that floaters in your eyes is rooted in judging people. When God first showed me this, when I had floaters in my eyes, and praise God, I don't have floaters in my eyes, from my house to Lake Hamilton for 5 hours, I repented over people I judged. And so that cleared it away. And as I began to do that, not just that day, but other days as I got on this journey. And so one day I was getting ready to teach at Lake Hamilton, and this black speck went across my eye. And I said, and the Lord said, take the log out of your eye, and then you can see clearly. And I said, well, Lord, who is that? And the Lord showed me, and I repented. You know, he wouldn't tell you to take it out if you couldn't. Anyway, that's the root of floaters. And so I just wanted to throw that one in the message, but you know, there's a spiritual root. We need to look for the spiritual root to why we've got what we've got. Look up if you got something wrong with your legs, look up legs. If you got something wrong with your arms, there was a time when I would fly in an airplane and this arm, I could not bring this arm up to my back. And the Lord, I started doing a word study on arm of the flesh. And anyway, now I can do that. And so there's a reason why you go through, and do a word study if you're still not healed, because he sent his word to heal you. He is the word of God. And then if you're still not healed, find godly people and let them lay hands on you. James chapter 5 says, if any among you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise up and heal the sick. And if they've committed any sin, they will be forgiven them. And then it says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Well, when we confess our faults, it's really a when we admit before other people that we've sinned and we've, you know, when I first had this eye thing, I asked my son and one of the men in our church to anoint me with oil. And I confess, I'm full of pride. And so it's been a journey for since 2008 that I've been on with my eyes when I was first diagnosed. And so Jesus has been my only healer for the many, many, many years. And I'm on no medication. I don't have not a pain in my body. But when my eyes were diagnosed in 2008, I broke generational curses. I went through every eye scripture, every scripture on eyes, everything's eyes, see, vision, blindness. Every scripture that has to do with sight, I've repented over two or three times. That was when I could read the word. And now I have to listen to the word. And I thank God that I can listen, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I thank God I can listen. And so I've done repenting of the word. I've done all of that. And, you know, when I was pastoring a church, I got a crick in my back. And the scripture says in 1 John 3:21, if our conscience is clear, we have confidence before God. And that means faith and trust in God. And it all. And so. So I knew that scripture. And so I got a crick in my back and I kept thinking it would work out. Well, it didn't. So one day before I was going to teach one Sunday, I pulled up all the scriptures on, back. And there was, I think, I don't know, 300 of them, and I repented over all of them. And the ones that really jumped out to me was, as a rod for the back of a fool, and in the mouth of a foolish is a rod for his back. And so those were the two things, because since I've known the Lord, I've never backslid. Praise God by his grace. But I had that rod in my back. And when I repented, before then, when people would pray for me about this crick, this little voice would say, you're not healed. And you know, if you hear that voice, you're not healed, because your conscience isn't clear. And so anyway, after I pulled up all the scriptures, I was dressing and my spirit man said, you're healed. And it was like my spirit man went, yes. I mean, I couldn't even doubt that I was healed. And I still had the crick in my back, and I went to church, and by the time I got to church, that crick was totally out of there. And so the Lord showed me that if our conscience is clear, without a clear conscience, you can't have faith. Well, I really have said, I don't have faith. I don't have faith to believe God's going to heal my eyes. There was always this doubt. And even Carla one day cast out an evil spirit of unbelief from me. And so, but still that unbelief was there. And so recently, another reason, because healing is not taught in the church. You really have not heard that many good teachings. If you've got physical problems, I recommend that you listen to T.L. Osborne. And he's a man that lived years ago, and he's got an audio book called Healing the Sick. And I thought it was to teach me how to heal the sick, but In the whole book, it's nothing but scripture. He quotes script, every other word is scripture. And you know, he sent his word to heal you, and it's a faith builder. He has another audio book called, I believe, Healing Miracles. And he gives 100 reasons why God wants to heal you. And so I have struggled with this issue of not having enough faith, but the Lord showed me I haven't listened to enough teachings on healing. real teachings, not, you know, you hear so much hot air. I mean, real teachings from real godly men, men that lived long time ago. Some of the preachers today, I don't know, they've gotten away from the Word of God, and we need to get back to God's Word. Yeah, anyway, I've realized that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that has really changed my life. And it's really changed my life that God healed me at Calvary, whether I see it or not. It's almost like you think because you don't have the manifestation of healing, you don't think you're healed. But God said He sent His Word to heal you. And, I thank the Lord for what He's done and what He's going to do. And I really believe that I'm going to see healing, complete healing. And I don't have the doubt. There's still just a tiny bit of doubt. And I've decided I'm going to listen to all the great teachers, like A.W. Simpson, I believe, has got a teaching on divine healing, Andrew Murray. I'm going to listen to all the great men of God that lived years ago that taught on healing. And that's going to build my faith to have mountain moving faith for this thing. And this is going to be overcome because God said, because of what He did at Calvary, you're more than a conqueror. And so we want to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. And we overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony. We love not our life, even to death, even when we're faced with death. And so we're living in hard times, but I really believe that I don't believe it's time for the one world order. I believe that God's going to give us a stay for a season anyway. But, anyway, just keep praying for God's mercy upon this country. We don't deserve mercy. We've done so many things. Our CIA, our government has done so many evil things to other countries and to people. It's going to all come out pretty soon, I believe. And so I just thank you for letting me be a part of this Zoom and part of Lake Hamilton all these years. I really love all of you. And if anyone wants to repent and in fact, if anybody wants to call me, I'll be happy to pray with you. Or you can email me at Jerry McGhee, GerimcGhee at sbcglobal.net. And I'll answer your emails. And if you need prayer, you can call me. And, but right now I'm going to lead those of you who've heard this message in repentance. And so, Lord, I ask you to search the hearts of each person who's been listening. I ask you to give them, show them what you're trying to show them about any physical things they have or even problems of life, even problems with finances, anything you're trying to show people. Lord, you are the one. We don't know. We forgot. But, Lord, you have it. Lord, show us all the times we've let the sun go down on our anger because we've given a foothold to the devil. And, Lord, they don't just go away. It's still there. And so help us, Lord, find the spiritual root of why what we're going through in every area of our life, in marriages, in homes, with our children. And God, show us the areas where we've been hurt, who's hurt us, places where we've not forgiven. Show us, Lord, forgive us for bitterness and anger and letting the sun go down on our anger. God, forgive us for holding grudges and retaliating and being resentful. Forgive us for being angry. Forgive us for idolatry. Forgive us for living after the flesh. Forgive us for not being willing to die to our flesh. Lord, forgive us for sexual immorality. Lord, forgive us for perversion. Forgive us for idolatry. God, forgive us for sorcery. God, forgive us that we've been couch potatoes and we haven't let our soul prosper. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive us for not walking in love and hating people. Forgive us for not blessing you and praising you. God, forgive us for unbelief and doubt and worry and fear. Lord, forgive us for sexual immorality, impurity. Forgive us, Lord, for sensuality and idolatry. Forgive us for sorcery, pharmakia. Forgive us for making doctors our God and medication our God. Forgive us for enmities and strife and jealousy. Forgive us for outbursts of anger. Dissensions, Lord, forgive us for disputes, for contention and strife. Lord, forgive us for being factious. And God, forgive us for envying and drunkenness, for spiritual drunkenness and physical drunkenness, for spiritual idolatry, spiritual adultery, for addictions, for carousing, and all these things. Forgive us for living after the flesh and not walking in the spirit. Lord, we thank you for being such a great God. Thank you for loving us so much. Lord, thank you that you sent your word to heal us. Thank you that you are the problem solver for all of our problems. Forgive us for trying to solve our own problems and not taking them to your throne of grace. Lord, forgive us for divorce. Forgive us for unforgiveness. Forgive us for retaliating and revenge. Lord, we just take all of these things up the mountain, Lord, just like Abraham took up Isaac. And Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for us to be fearful or all, then so be it. But God, that doesn't glorify you. Forgive us for trusting the devil and what he says. God, forgive us for, not having the perfect love that casts out fear. God, we've been tormented by fear, doubt, unbelief, and worry in this world. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to take care of us. We thank you that you said when we're weak, we're strong. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness, not in our strength. And Lord, forgive us. We've got that backwards. We think everything's got to be strong. But Lord, you said that you help us in our weakness. And oh God, we're so weak. We ask you to pour out your love upon every person who hears this message. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, if anybody has had a COVID vaccination or to contact Carla for her in Lake Hamilton to have Carla's email so she can send them that prayer. God, we just thank you and praise you that you're the healer of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're the strength of our lives. I ask you to impart joy. I ask you right now, Lord, that you loose yourself in me and pour out your healing power upon each person who's listening in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless Merle and Barbara, bless Patty and Kevin, bless Kern and Eugene. God bless, Lord, we ask you to bless little Jeremiah and bless Deborah. God, we ask you to bless every person who's listening. Lord, we want more of you. We want to love you more. Lord, every day I pray you show each of us, each person, Lord, that you're the answer, that you have an answer and a solution for everything we're going through. And Lord, I ask you to show us your way. I pray the eyes of our heart be enlightened. I ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding that we might walk in a manner worthy of you, pleasing you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of you, Lord, being strengthened with your mighty power according to your glorious might for the attaining of steadfast, joyously giving thanks to you, Lord, who has qualified us to share with the saints of light in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you and praise you for all you've done today. Thank you for helping me, Lord, and I thank you and bless you. Thank you for helping us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for letting me be a part.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother Merle, we do thank God for you, Sister Jerry. We thank God for this word today. And we were just sharing not long ago about the word of God. Now, I pray everybody heard what the Lord said. There's answers for everything in God's word. Mm-hmm. And if we will apply it, I just said that to someone, we must apply God's word to our life. Mm-hmm. We must allow the Lord to show us. And then do. And I'm thankful for healing today. Yes. I'm thankful the woman of God called out an illness in my body. And I was healed last night.
Praise
and I'm
God.
Thankful for the healing. Healing is the children's bread.
Yes.
And we must walk in the word. The word must be an active part of our life. And so, Jerry, we love you. We pray for you. We pray strength for you and total healing for you. And
thank
healing
you.
Is your portion. And we thank God that your eyes are clearing up in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
no
yes.
weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, God, will condemn it in the judgment. And we thank God for the woman of God now. We pray blessing on her, Father, strengthen her right now. God, we thank you for all that you're doing for her. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Touch her today and keep her encouraged. Father, she's an example, and we thank you for this example today. We thank you, God, for what you're doing for this precious woman of God. Lord, help us to take what she said and apply the word to our lives in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. She's 83, I believe, Lord God, a general in the faith. God, we thank you. We thank you for the light of your word today. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. For everyone on this line, we ask that you minister into their lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. We love you. Brother Merle, it's in your hands. God bless you.
Well, Jerry, I just love the word that you bring.
Thank
you.
You
so much.
Oh, I miss y'all.
You have a word of strength that you bring us every time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Strength that we need for our everyday lives. We need to always remember the enemy never sleeps.
Yes.
24/7, he is at us trying to get us to fail.
To discourage us.
Our God never sleeps also, and he protects us. He never walks away from us.
That's right.
He's always with us. He walks us through the daylight. He walks us through the midnight hour, the 3 o'clock hour when it is the darkest in our lives, but we know that the light comes quickly.
Yes.
And
yes.
He is always with us. And he is always there. He never fails us.
No, he doesn't. And you know, all of us have got stuff we go through and it gets so hard. I mean, I want to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not going to quit, but because God wouldn't want you to quit. He wants you to overcome because he died that you can overcome. All of us have got a journey to be on, but let me tell you, he's the answer to everything we go through and he loves each of you.
Yeah.
And I love you.
Yeah. We love you too.
God bless you. Thank you for letting me be a part.
Yeah, bless you.
Bless you.
Anybody have anything to say? Anybody else?
Well, several have commented, Brother Merle. I'm gonna take everybody off spotlight here so you can see everybody if I can do that.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. But Brother Merle, several comments have gone on. Sister Nadine said she was healed last night, and several have been blessed by the word and. Nadine, where are you? There she is. She says she was healed as well, Sister Jean, last night.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed by the word. And we thank God for all of you all, many, many, many on here. So many comments. Sister Jerry, they said thank you.
Juanita said thank you
for the word. And so we are encouraged by every one of you that are on today. Praise the Lord. So many are on from various countries, Brother Merle, that are represented as well. Praise God. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless
I have to say with Kermit and Jean, they'll be speaking tonight, 6 o'clock Central Time. But the word they brought last night was just really good.
Praise God.
And Jean, you're teaching on the dry bones. I'll tell you, the American church right now, they are the dry bones, but the Lord said he's going to wake them up.
That's right.
He's going to wake up the church in America, and the church is no longer to be turning their back on what's going on.
The church is
going to wake up, and they're going to start praying, and they're going to start coming against this thing that is trying to overcome our country.
That's right.
The Lord never loses. He is a God of war. And when he goes to battle, when his angels, they've already thrown Satan out of heaven and they're coming down to throw him into hell. And
Amen.
He never loses. And we're waiting right now for his movement for the angels to come and start driving out the enemy.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Sister Jerry, Brother Kern, I just want to tell you I love you.
Love you.
And thank you for the confirmation with the word.
Amen.
And I just want to bless you with a word of knowledge. I was sitting here listening to you. Psalms 91 kept coming before me about you. And here's the quote that came. With long life will I satisfy her and show her my salvation.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
And
praise
God. I want to tell you, I love you. You mean a lot to us.
Yeah.
And I've learned some great things and I've applied those things to our lives.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Love you too, Jerry, and God bless you.
Love you too.
And I speak over your eyes today, healing in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I prophesy to the cornea of your eyes and to the nerves. And I breathe life into you, even as Jesus
breathed
life into us. So I breathe life into your eyes today. And I say a blessing of the Holy Spirit rests upon you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. I love you.
And
I wish God is going to continue to do wonderful things for you.
Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Y'all are special to me. You know, one thing, you know, y'all, we understand each other, and a lot of people out there don't understand where we're coming from, do they? The older we get, the more we realize the song Onward Christian Soldiers, what it means, right?
Amen.
Trudging on for victory. I don't know what the word is.
And you know what, Sister Jerry, you are so right. Especially when I talk about the jab, when I go about the vaccine, when I go to different places, they look at me like I'm the boogeyman.
Well, they didn't tar and feather you. Oh, bless the Lord. Well, it's just good being with y'all. I just, maybe we can all be together again soon.
Yes, we will.
Yes.
Deborah, anyone else out there?
I believe I don't see any other comments other than the last one. What a blessed woman of God. Thank you, Jerry. In the name of Jesus, may your eyes be healed.
Thank you.
That was from Absolutely. We have a first timer.
What countries were with us?
Okay. I believe we have, now I just got a blank.
Okay.
India. There we go. India's with us.
Yeah.
And I believe
so is Germany.
Germany is with us.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
Amen. Anyone else that we missed from a different country on today? Okay.
Yeah.
So we have several states, of course, represented. I know Kentucky's represented. Washington State's represented. Arkansas is represented. So many, right? United Kingdom is with us.
Yes. Yes.
Georgia.
Georgia's here. Okay.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Illinois.
Illinois is here. God bless you.
Arizona.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Yes.
Good.
All right. Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Ohio and Texas.
Well, we're in
Ohio
California.
And Texas. California, yeah. Definitely.
Indiana.
Okay. Praise the Lord for Indiana. Okay. All right.
Like to hear from all these people in the Bible Belt.
There we go. Yeah. Praise the Lord. New York is with us. God bless you.
Oh, good.
Missouri is with us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Houston. Great. God bless you. All of you. We thank God for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right.
Well, Massachusetts, every one of you, pray for your states.
Yes, absolutely.
That the Lord will lead those who are in your states that are your congressmen, your senators, that the Lord will lead them.
Yes.
Texas, I pray for you because all these people that from Northern California are moving into Texas, and they're bringing the blue ways there, and they've ruined this state, and now they've come into Texas and San Antonio. We pray for you.
Yeah, that's a bad town.
Houston, we pray for you. Dallas, we pray for you, and we always pray, Barbara and I, for the United States of America.
Amen.
God will set it free.
Amen. It's going to happen in Jesus' name.
Yes, it's coming quickly.
Mm-hmm.
2022.
Yes.
We're in a time of confusion right now, but this is a time that God has said, I'm going to confuse those who are in my places. I'm going to change them. And in 2022, he's going to bring peace to this land. It's come.
That's right. I believe it. Yes. Hi, sweet Kevin. Is that Kevin?
Yes. Hi, Jerry.
Love you.
Love you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah.
Where's Patty?
I'm right here, Jerry.
Love you.
Love you too, sweetie.
Jerry, Jeremiah is here, and he's going to say hello.
Hi, Jeremiah. Mighty man of God.
Yes,
Jeremiah.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Sore throat. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Love you, sweetie.
Amen.
He's my little preacher boy.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord.
Yes. We love you, Jeremiah, and I miss you very much.
Yes, we do.
Hey.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for Jeremiah.
It's so good to see his face. Yes. We just remember him as a little one.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He's growing up. Amen. Glad you're with your grandmother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Brother Merle, that's all I have for today.
Your song was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Until tonight, you are dismissed, and God go with you and bless you and keep you in all your days.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Y'all too. God bless.
Mm-hmm. God bless everybody.
Love you all.
I love
all. You all. God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Merle.
Thank you. You guys are okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
Out.
How do you try?
Four. I'll get you. 3, 2, 1. God bless everybody.
Bye.
Bless you. Bye. Bless you. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.